Games from the Cellar, the board gaming podcast. I intentionally drew that one out because this is going to be a really short episode. So we're going to play Air, Land, and Sea from Arcane Wonders.
Yeah. Looks like a short little game.
It's a short little game, small little box. It's 18 cards, and then the little theater boards and a couple of player cards. So it's and some points tokens.
Which is this one of those 18 card challenge games?
I honestly, it very well could be.
Because that's like been a thing since what's its name came out. The what's the one where you're trying to get to the princess?
Oh, Love Letter.
Love Letter. Yeah. That there's been these 18 game card game challenges where you essentially design a game with just 18 cards. And it didn't dawn on me until you just mentioned it, but you're right, this game has 18 cards in it. So maybe that's where this is coming from.
It could be. It could very well be. I don't, I didn't do enough research on this beforehand to know.
Mm-hmm.
All I do know is that it's highly regarded on the So Very Wrong About Games podcast.
Oh, well, in that case...
And since we're doing podcast shout-outs today, I thought...
let's get that one in, too.
We'll get that one in, too. If you don't listen to that one, give it a shot. You may or may not like it, but I find them to be very interesting and have pretty good takes on most gaming topics. So,
well, this is a cute little game. It's not a whole lot here. The rules are whisper-thin from the looks of it. It's got a World War II sort of theming to it with the pictures and the like. And it looks like you fight battles in the air and on land and in the sea. So I suppose that makes sense given what it's titled. So, yeah,
so my understanding is that, the basic rules are, you play a card and your opponent gets to play a card and they have to match their theaters. So you would play an air card in the air theater, a land card in the land theater, et cetera. And then each of the cards has a number between one and six, which signifies its strength in that theater. Where it gets interesting is that each of the cards, well, most of the cards have some kind of little ability that break the rules in a little way. And I forget to mention, you can also play a card face down for two power in any theater, kind of as a wild card. So some of the cards like can lock down locations where... you just can't play there, or it makes it where you can't play face down cards, or it, just a lot of little things that kind of change the rules as you go along.
And it's like six cards per person, right? Or is it nine cards per person?
Six cards per person.
This should go pretty doggone quick when all is said and done.
With 18 cards, there's going to be six cards that you're not going to see. So it's not like this perfect information situation.
Mm-hmm.
Which keeps it interesting. And then I think the most interesting part about this game is the ability to withdraw. So you're not you're not beholden to play all your cards.
So you don't basically have to finish the hand.
You don't have to finish the hand. So basically you can look at your hand and say, there's no way I'm winning this. And you can withdraw. And when you withdraw, your opponent gets less points. So it's a race to get to 12 points. If you play out your entire hand, you're going to give your opponent 12 points. You're going to give your opponent 6 points if you lose.
Okay.
However, if you're looking at your cards and realize that, you know, about halfway through with three cards left in your hand,
you've got nothing.
You're actually only going to give your opponent 3 points at that point. So it's this interesting aspect of not only you playing cards to, you know, get the best points or to win these areas, you also have to look at your hand and kind of reason out if you can actually win the entire game or that entire round, as it were.
Okay.
Because, you know, tactical retreats are a thing, and maybe you need to just rack it up and play again so you can get full points next time around.
Yeah, that's a thought.
So yeah, it's a you know, I think it's what, maybe 10 or 12, 15 minutes a game. Probably can knock a few of these out.
You play
in a
best
row.
Of three if you really wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
So how about we give this a shot? See
Let's
how it goes.
Give it a roll, see what happens.
All right.
I'm looking at the two difference of the first player and the second player cards. And so first player, you get to bail at four cards to give your opponent 2 points. And at second player, you get to bail at five cards to give them 2 points. And it seems to me...
It's because the first player gets to play a card first.
So he would play down two cards to the defensive players. No, he'd be two cards as well, wouldn't he?
We're thinking too hard about this.
I'm just trying to decide if that is giving an advantage to the second player to kind of even it out, or if being first player is designed to be dominant and, you know, you play differently because of that.
I don't know, but I'm sure John Perry figured it out. Anyway, so, yeah, we kind of mentioned you could play this three times and take best of three. We only played two games. We're running a little low on time, so.
Yeah, and the second game, you chewed me up pretty solid.
Yeah, you took the first game. Mm-hmm. I took the second game. I have a feeling had we played Summoner Wars a second time, probably would have had the same results. Probably not usually killed
me. We could have split.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's I think it's a pretty interesting little game. You know, a little 15-minute game here and there, back and forth.
Yeah, it is quick. It's something you can almost, like, leave on your kitchen table for when you just, you know, got a little bit of time before you, you know, I don't know, before the football game starts or whatever it is that you're planning on doing. It fits into that tight a slot, or maybe before more people show up if you got a game night going
on. Yeah, I was about to say, this is, you know, Sam doesn't ever show up on time, and this could be one of those... what is that F word that
I can't remember
lands you in the penalty box?
Yeah.
Well, it's a short game that you could, you know, fill a few minutes with a game or two.
Yeah.
As you're waiting for someone to show up.
Yeah, and it's very much it you know, it has battleships and airplanes on it, but this is very much a card game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about card control of the board, and it reminds me more of like playing bridge or something like that, where you've got to use your cards and kind of finesse your way across. The ordering matters. I need to get this card out so that my next card is more effective, so I can, you know, hamstring whatever ability he's got on his side. It's that kind of thing. The war theme is very, it's pretty. The art's pretty. I'm kind of an airplane guy, and none of the airplanes are actual airplanes, so it kind of throws me off
a little
bit.
Yeah, they're little fiction-y airplanes.
Yeah,
license airplanes.
Yeah, but the art is very nice, yeah. So I can't complain about that. And I like the colors, so...
Yeah, it has kind of a battle line feel.
Yeah, that's something similar. Yeah. Battle line's the one that does not have a map. Battle line's the one where you're building the rows of cards.
Mm-hmm, the rows of cards.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is similar to that, and I had to make sure I had my right battle game.
Yeah, lots of battle games. No, you know, it's a simple card game where you're putting down sets of three, one card at a time to.
Well, you're putting down on three columns.
I don't know. It's been so long since I played Battleline. This just makes me think Battleline.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about this game, Airland and Sea.
Yeah, Airland and Sea, the basic rule is very simple. You play a card, and a high score wins. You got to win three columns to win the round.
Two columns to win the round.
Two columns, sorry.
Two out of three.
Two out of the three columns to win the round. And then you get points based on when your opponent retreats. The interesting part of it, or the sauce, as it were, is each of the cards has a special ability. So you can flip your opponent's cards over, you're locking down locations, you're moving cards around, and you're playing cards in spots where they otherwise shouldn't be played. The funniest mental image we had, and then we started talking physics about this, but the heavy tanks being dropped from a plane. It's like... Well, how much force does a tank shell expel? And without the friction of the ground for the tank to grab onto, does when the tank is fired, does the tank recoil back and the shell just kind of fall out? Or
I wouldn't go that far, but
yeah, you posited that the gun is above the center of gravity, so firing the cannon falling from the air would actually send the tank into a spin.
Right, and that would suck up most of the kinetic energy that comes out of the shell. But yeah, that's that. But you're right. If it's not stuck to the ground at all, then yes, it is going to back that tank up a little bit when it does that.
Yeah, so, you know, just fun little things to think about.
Those are the kind of pictures that you get. And of course, you know, especially in World War II, so much battleships really just weren't that important. It was there should be airplanes in the sea pictures too, but obviously they don't want to do that because it would, you know, confuse the Earth the way it is. But yeah, it's a lot of tit for tat, and there are times that you kind of get frustrated because, okay, now I put this card down, nobody can put a card down face down, and the next person puts a card down and just whoop, flips that card right over, and that ability goes away. So you think you're sort of developing you're establishing some level of control, and the player opposing you is just, he's got a countermeasure where he just says, nope, that card's back out of the picture again, flips that card over, and it can't work. So it's an interesting little play. I'm not sure this is the kind of game you're going to play 100 times, even with its short time frame, but I could see you playing it 10 or 15 times and getting some enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, going to that, like, everyone, the quote-unquote answers aren't always available. So you've got 18 cards, 12 of them are in play, 6 per player. Mm-hmm. So that means a full third of the deck is out of
the
game.
It's out of the picture, yeah.
So you can never really count the cards or kind of say, okay, well, I don't have any of the maneuver cards in my hand, so John must be holding one or two of them.
Yeah. Or they even could, just the raw numbers.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could all be in, you know, the 6 cards that have been trashed, and you just don't know. And it's the same thing, like, you look at your hand and you don't have any 6s. But you have a couple 5s, you're like, okay, that might be something that works because the 6s could be pitched.
Right, right. They could be in
the
corner.
Or John could have all 6 of them. And then you just have to have cards that deal with those. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of decisions that can be made in a very short amount of time. And
yeah.
I find that to be very interesting.
And the fold early. Because if somebody wins 2 complete battles outright, they win the game. So you can finish in 2 hands if that happens. Whereas you can look at your hand and go, I kind of got a bad set this time. I'm just going to throw in right now, and your opponent only gets 2 points. So now they are still really 2 wins away. You've given them a third of a win when they need 2 wins. So, I mean, that's part of it too. And you have the ability to actually look a little bit farther down the road. But at one point I said, okay, I've got a pretty commanding hand here. I can get 6 out of this. But I want to make sure I don't play my big cards because I almost didn't want to scare you off. I'm like, well, let's let him burn a couple of cards before I start throwing out big stuff because that'll give me ability to maybe get a couple extra points out of it. And, you know, with the ability to flip somebody else's card, you don't want to get all your 6s out on the table right away anyhow because it's like, and I have to flip that right over and now it's only worth 2 points. So, I mean, it's from that perspective, it was also there's enough to think about here that, like I said, it's more of a card game. You got to kind of figure out all your angles, and half the card is simply getting the numbers out and kind of, you know, tempting your player to go after land and sea because you're weak in air, so you think you might be able to finesse air out of it. But at the same time, you know, just from a sheer number perspective, that's one thing. But then you have to look at those special abilities and say, okay, I can turn this off and I can control this the battlefield this way instead. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's a good quick little game.
Yeah.
I had a good time with it. I would say 10 minutes per game.
Yeah. 10 minutes per battle, you figure?
Yeah.
Okay. And 2-3 battles, maybe 4 battles before somebody wins?
I mean, I would say 15 to 20 minutes total. With each one, with each game that we played.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Yeah. And so...
That's pretty quick then, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, this will be something that I carry around just because if we show up to Chris's house and...
Nobody's there.
Yeah. Or if you show up here and nobody's shown up yet, it's a real easy one just to throw on the table real quick and get right into.
Yeah. And it's a glove box game. You can fit it in the glove box of your car.
Yeah.
And you can leave it there.
You could actually probably... like print off smaller versions of the land, air, and sea cards.
And make it even smaller.
Just make it even smaller. It'd be just a deck of cards.
Yeah, you could build a mini game out of this if you wanted.
Yeah, so definitely a game that could go on a quiver if you're into that type of thing.
Oh, what's a quiver, Steven?
So a quiver is a long card box that's on a sling. That's why they call it a quiver, because it looks like an arrow quiver.
An arrow quiver.
I used to have a similar situation, but it was my battle box.
Okay.
So back when I worked for AEG, they had they would do these battle boxes for all their CCGs. So there was a Warlords battle box and a.
You mean decorated for their games?
Well, yeah. So essentially, what it would be is like for start. So it was Spycraft, Warlord, Legend of the Five Rings, and City of Heroes.
Okay.
So their main CCGs. And essentially what it was a big was a deck box, but instead of it being a long one, it was two side by side, so it was more square. And it would come with two starter decks, the rules, and like a die.
Oh, okay. So it was like it was a whole game kit.
Yeah, it was a whole game kit, but it was mostly a box.
Okay.
And so I was able to fit in that one box, I think, 8 different games.
Oh, jeez.
So I was able to fit 7 wonders in there because the tarot cards, if you lay them on their side, fit.
Okay.
And I had a love letter in there, obviously, very easy.
Of course. Another AEG game, too.
Colorado.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm looking at my shelf just to remember what all it was.
Bonanza.
I think I had Glory to Rome in there back when it was the old version. Mm-hmm. So I had like eight or nine games that basically lived
in that box.
In the trunk in that box. I could throw it in my backpack. So mm-hmm. And I always had games wherever I was going. We took it on a cruise one time.
Oh, no kidding.
So before the Dice Tower cruise, we were doing board gaming cruises. this would be something very easy to, throw in your backpack, throw in your purse. If you had the smaller... if you had the smaller theater cards, you could even play this like at the table waiting for dinner to show up.
Yeah, you could.
Play it at the bar as you're drinking.
And the timing is right on that too.
Yeah.
So you're sitting at, whatever cheesy, suburban restaurant you're eating at, and then before your potato skins show up, you could get a game of this.
Yeah, and you could totally take it to your favorite brewery and get a couple games in.
Yep.
So, yeah, let's give it a call. What do you think of Air, Land, and Sea?
It's a solid 7. It's certainly not a lifestyle game, but it's a game you can get in a couple of turns and have a good time with it. I think it's solid.
Yeah, and I agree. It's going to get a 7 for me as well, simply because, it's small enough to be very portable, and the games are short enough to where you can fit it into a lot of different situations. Mm-hmm. And for a game this small, there are a lot of good decisions that you can make. So you compare it to like Love Letter,
mm-hmm.
both 18 card games.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the decisions that you're making here are a lot more impactful. I say impactful, but more brainy than say Love Letter.
Yeah. Love Letter. Sometimes you just sort of, the cards are playing you.
Yeah.
You got to play what you got to play.
Now, I get it. Love Letter is more of like a deduction game. Yeah. They're completely different animals.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you're looking for something that kind of tickles your brain a little bit while you're trying to fill some time, this is a real good option for that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, that is...
And cheap, too.
Air, Land, and Sea. Yeah, I think it was... had to be $20. Couldn't be any more than
that. Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, so... Check out your local game store, or if you're prone to doing online game shopping, you can check it there. But definitely pick up a copy.
All right.